Good afternoon. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your...
No.
Ow.
All his life, Carl Fredrickson dreamed of adventure. Today, his adventure is finally taking off.
Welcome to the post-Oscar special edition of the Super Podcast. This is obviously a continuation of the pre-show where we did our picks and discussed nominations. And today we're obviously going to discuss the show, the winners and losers. And I'm joined with Speed the Terrible Australian again.
Hello, everyone.
Seeing as we did pre-show, now we're doing post-show.
Yay!
And I wasn't going to do this with anybody else, but if we could have found someone else to join us, we would have, but everybody's busy because they suck.
Boo.
So before we get started, how about you tell us why you're a terrible Australian this week?
Yep, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Bratz, the movie.
excuse me, I'm trying not to vomit.
I know, it's...
Yuck.
I'm a glutton for punishment, I don't know why. Even some days I wonder why.
That one I just cannot understand.
Interesting enough, John Boyd, who was in that movie, was also in another movie that same year that it was about, that was also based on the toy line. But that movie was much better. Way better.
Let's just not mention Bratz again,
shall we? I think people have already started turning off the podcast.
Yeah, they've heard you've seen Bratz. See you later. But we'll move swiftly along. This, obviously, as I said, it's the post-Oscar show. So the Oscars have happened. They are over and done with for another year. And how did we do with our picks and who won, who lost, what pissed us off, what didn't piss us off? We'll get right into it. And I'm going to start with two awards which actually were quite surprising for me, and I got them both wrong, and that is the writing awards for original and adapted screenplays. So for the original screenplay, I thought perhaps the Coen brothers were going to win, or perhaps Tarantino was going to win. What was your pick?
Actually, the one I picked in the end, I ended up picking the Hurt Locker in the end.
In the end, yeah.
Because I kept going back and forth who I think was going to win. So I just went with the safest bet. So I just picked the Hurt Locker and I ended up getting extra points for that. So yay for me.
Boo for you. Well, yes, as we know, the Hurt Locker one, I was really surprised that that one for this award. I'm not going to complain because I loved the movie and I don't care what anybody says about the movie anymore. It's my opinion and that's it.
Yeah, I love the Hurt Locker too. I even love it because I rewatched it again over the weekend. I even loved it even more the third time I've watched it. Yeah. And I think it's a great script, but I still honestly do believe Bastards had the better script.
Yeah, I really think that's what should have won because that was my wanted to win one.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother me too much because Hurt Locker was a great film
too.
Yeah,
and I've seen it like a few times now and it's still as intense as it was the first time. And some of the scenes, like some of the back and forth stuff between the guys, it's pretty intense. It's good stuff. It's good writing. So
yeah,
interesting pick. And the adapted screenplay, which definitely surprised me because I thought Up in the Air had this in the bag and Up in the Air got nothing. And our winner was Precious, and Jeffrey Fletcher won
the award. Probably without about the most shocking win of the night.
Just left with my mouth wide open. I'm like, Precious won?
I was the same too. I was like, what?
What?
I mean, I think everyone on the planet thought that Up in the Air was going to have this in the bag. And when Precious was announced, everybody's jaws just dropped.
Yeah, and it was quite a moving speech as well that he gave.
Yeah, it was a really good speech. I mean, I bet Jeffrey Fletcher, who won, I bet he didn't even think he was going to win.
No, he's just like, yeah, whatever. And then he wins. It's like, whoa.
Although it would have been awesome to have just a shot of Jason Reitman just crying in the corner.
Yeah, they did not show a reaction shot from Jason Reitman. which I think disappointed everybody. But, yeah. Because
he had that priceless
look when...
At the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
One.
Yes, he did. But, I mean, I am a big fan of the film Precious, and it is a very well-written film, and I'd give him that award just for some of the lines that Mary says in this film.
Get your fat ass to the welfare.
I didn't want to say it. You could say it.
But so, I have one thing, and this may be actually, I didn't realize this at the time, but I sort of, since after the show and people commenting, and it really does seem kind of awkward. Out of all the clips they could have shown when they were announcing the nominees,
yeah,
why did they have to show the fried chicken scene?
I know, like...
Are you just trying to tell us, yeah, Precious is fat?
Yeah, Precious, like, steals food, man. Yeah, I know, that was really odd. I liked, like, the things they did, like, showing the writing and the scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good, like, effect sort of thing.
Yeah, that was cool, but still, you could have chosen a better clip.
Yeah. Okay, in the obvious award, like, obvious as to who it was going to, visual effects went to Avatar, which I think if anyone did not pick Avatar was an idiot.
Yeah, and it was pretty much a guarantee, even from conception, when the James Cameron... Yeah. Imagine this in his mind, it was going to win then. Yeah.
And it's definitely an award it deserves. No other way about it. Exactly. So, yeah. We'll go to, I think, the other another obvious choice was the original song, which was Crazy Heart. The song was called The Weary Kind by Ryan Bingham and T-Bone Burnett.
Not the character from...
Not from the, Up in the Air. I'm so glad that they did not sing the songs, because that would have been annoying.
I actually missed them singing the songs.
Oh, please. This year. You're a terrible Australian for that.
What's wrong with them singing the songs on
it's
the show?
Annoying.
It's annoying. It is,
and it's annoying. It's very, 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 very annoying, and I hate it.
I'm so glad we missed out this year. Interpretative dancing during the
That was, we'll get to score. That, but that was terrible. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the original song, I think, if you didn't pick Crazy Heart, you're an idiot, because it was so obvious that was going to win. Yes, music score, and they did the freaking dances to the songs. It was so terrible, man. It was like the worst part of the show.
Yeah, it wasn't just dancing, it was breakdancing.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
They were breakdancing to the Up music.
Yeah, it was weird. And yes, Up... And Michael Giacchino won, which was what I wanted to win and what I picked would win. So that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah,
I thought it was the most deserving. It was the best score, definitely. Absolutely fantastical.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Up, go see Up.
Yeah. And he's a great composer too, because he done like scores for like The Incredibles, Ratatouille, Star Trek, Cloverfield. Those are all great scores. Yeah. And it's good that he got his due finally.
Yeah, definitely. A fan of his work, so it was really good, and he gave like the cutest acceptance speech ever. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
The next award, which was presented by Ben Stiller in Na'vi makeup, which scared the shit out of me and I never want to see again.
Yes, it scared the absolute crap out of me. As everyone knows, I have a blue people fetish, so
now you no longer do. He has cured exactly. you of that fetish.
It was I think I had never been so terrified in my entire life when I saw, as soon as I just went to Ben Stiller's face with the makeup, I literally screamed in fright.
I was so petrified and disturbed, and I'm like, oh my God, there's something seriously wrong here.
Although I give Ben Stiller credit because every year when he does like present an award, he always comes out with like all these kind of dresses up for something. At the Oscars, like last year, he dressed up as Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the year before that, he dressed up in like just a green suit.
Yeah, like I remember that.
Like the CGI green suit.
Yeah.
But this one was just. This was just wrong.
It was wrong and just fucked up, man.
I mean,
it was one of the big fail moments of the Oscars.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I gotta add, like. The hosting, they were sort of really hit and miss. Some things worked, some things didn't.
Mm.
It was okay.
Yeah. Like, some of the jokes I felt, like, did some of them work, some of them didn't, but there were some pretty cool one-liners, like, that damn Helen Mirren. I think you mean Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I thought was hilarious was the Paranormal Activity skit.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was pretty funny. And we'll get into some of the other stuff later, but we'll just quickly talk about the Makeup Award, which went to Star Trek, which made me very, very happy.
And it's the first Star Trek movie to actually win an Oscar, so that's an even bigger deal.
I thought Star Trek should have won back in 1996 for First Contact, but it did not, which was very disappointing.
Yep.
But, yeah, at least it won. It's finally won, so I'm very happy with that. And I thought the makeup in that film was fabulous.
And they had to give it an Oscar for it for something, because it wasn't going to win visual effects. It wasn't going to win any of the sound categories. The only one that it wasn't up against Avatar was the makeup category.
Yeah, so, and you knew it was going to win that. So, yeah, it's pretty good all the same.
Yeah.
But, yes. What were we going to... I don't know what I was going to say, but... I'll move swiftly along to film editing.
I knew The Hurt Locker was going to win there. Cause
I picked Avatar because I thought surely Avatar was going to win. But The Hurt Locker won.
Yeah, because The Hurt Locker is a very fast-paced film and it's really well-paced. And
well-edited, like, obviously.
Yeah. Having just, like I said before, rewatched it over the weekend, like, just, I really took notice of the editing, and it is, like, the editing in that movie is great. Like, everything editing-wise really works, and it doesn't lag at any moment.
Mm. No, not at all. For me, it's, like, a very intense film. Even though it's, like, a slow-burn film, it's very intense and kept me interested the whole way.
Yeah.
But, you know, other people said it was boring, they didn't like it. They didn't think it was well edited, but I just honestly can't see how people can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was kind of pulling for Bastards, but yeah, didn't happen. A big surprise, and I think you actually picked this one, was the foreign language film.
Woo!
Everyone was going for A Prophet, and it did not win.
White Ribbon, one of those two.
Yeah, and it did not win.
Yeah, so I said this on Twitter yesterday, and I don't want to gloat.
But you're going to.
I'm going to. It's like, suck it in, people.
That'll be one of the highlights of the show. Bede doesn't want to gloat, but he does anyway.
It's like, in your face, people. I knew that was going to win.
In your face, bitches.
In your face.
Get your fat ass to the welfare.
Exactly. Oh, that's going to be the official line of the podcast. Get your fat ass out to the welfare while listening to the podcast.
We need a precious soundboard.
Exactly. There's got to be one somewhere.
Anyway, would you please enlighten us as to what film did win?
It was The Secret in Their Eyes that won the Best Foreign Film. I think probably from what I gathered, a lot of people were shocked that this won, but I wasn't because, like I said on the last show, I always read a lot of Oscar websites.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and some people did predict this could be the possible surprise winner.
Yeah.
And, like, even last year, because last year Waltz with Bashir and The Class, which were two great movies as well, people were going back and forth between those two, which would win. And a Japanese film called Departures won in that year.
Mm.
And so I kind of figured, you know, this is a category where the Academy usually recognizes a smaller film, not really the more well-known foreign films. So I picked this one and it ended up being right. So, yeah, and now for the rest of the year, I'm going to be gloating and going, ha-ha, to everybody else.
Indeed.
Yes. I'm going to stop now before everyone starts hating
me. The documentary feature, I think it was obvious The Cove was going to win, and it did, and I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen any of the other ones.
I haven't seen it either, but I do want to see it at some point.
I probably will be inclined to see it. Mm-hmm. The costume design, which was, what was the movie called again?
The Young Victoria.
The Young Victoria and Sandy
that
Powell.
That movie was just made to win a Best Costume.
Yeah, Sandy Powell comes out and goes, I've already got two of these, and I'm like, geez, rub it in, why don't you?
Really, somebody thinking, you know, I'm going to gloat right
like,
now.
What sort of a speech is that, woman? But she's very talented.
Oh yeah, you
done wonderful work.
Yeah, I've seen the good movie and the costume very deserved. Although I did suspect that maybe Coco Avanchanel or Coco Bambini could take it as well, since that movie is about fashion and clothes and all that.
Yeah, but not to be.
But The Young Victoria was my pick, and glad that it won there too.
The next category is art direction. And I picked Avatar.
I picked Avatar as well.
And were we wrong in picking Avatar?
Hell no.
No, we were not. There's probably, it deserved it, I would say, easily.
Yeah, like, sure you can look at other films that were nominated in that category, but those are, for, like, they created sets, but Avatar created an entire world.
Yeah, I mean, this, I would say it deserved it.
Yeah,
I agree. I was kind of, like, hoping, like, the Imaginarium would kind of, like, be an upset, but not to be.
Yeah.
Next award, which pissed me off to no end, is cinematography, which Avatar won, which I think is just rubbish. I mean, why don't they just freaking nominate animated movies now?
Well, because it, like, even though it's technically live action slash animation, so I suppose that had a factor into it.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I was thinking, like, The Hurt Locker. Because the cinematography was fantastic. And it's like, well, Avatar being in there doesn't make sense to start with, and it winning makes even less sense.
Well, because I picked The Hurt Locker, I thought that'd be a surprise win there, but I wasn't, but it didn't surprise me too much that Avatar won. It just
fucks me off.
I can see why a lot of people would be annoyed, and with the same argument that it's a mostly CG movie, so
should
have won, and now should other animated movies get nominated? And maybe, yeah, like, I agree with that. But at the same time, it probably is a lot with this, like, Avatar, to make it such a realistic, well, almost photorealistic looking world. It would have taken a lot of hard work with both the lighting.
Oh, I'm not saying that they didn't put hard work into it. It just seems a bit silly.
Well, I can say that, but it's probably, like I said, it probably took a lot more effort to do with this film than, say, a film like The Hurt Locker or Bastards or The White Ribbon or Harry Potter. But that's just my estimate.
I can see your point, but still, I just don't think it worked. And two awards which I thought Avatar actually should have won were the two awards for sound. And I was really surprised that The Hurt Locker got those two awards.
I actually picked The Hurt Locker for one of them. And that was for sound mixing, but I honestly thought Avatar will win for sound editing.
I really thought it was going to get both, and I thought it deserved both, to be perfectly honest with you. Because the sound and everything in that was just, you know, phenomenal. And I'm just like, well, The Hurt Locker? Okay, it's very weird. I would have swapped those around, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
Strange choices, in my
opinion. Or even, like, at least Avatar winning one of them and Hurt Locker winning one of the other.
Well, yeah. Because I definitely think, like, it deserved it.
Yeah. Like, I agree that giving it both awards is kind of a little too much. Maybe one sound award, but not both.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's the way it happened.
Easy come, easy go.
Another obvious one, if anyone picked anything else, I don't know why you would have, animated feature, which went to Up, which deserved it.
Cause well, it I wanted the Secret of Kells to win.
Yeah, because we so know what that even is. And they even made fun of that as well.
Yeah, that's when you know that's one of the things I do like, not only from this year's Oscars, but one last year. Even like whether it's the hosts or even the people behind the Oscars, even they are self-aware of what they're doing. Like, even they'll admit, like, we even don't know what the hell the Secret of Kells is.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but
yeah.
I mean, Up is a fantastic film, and it deserved it, and it should have won. So that's all good in my opinion.
Exactly.
All right. Now, I think we're going to ones that, well, I think we knew pretty much these were going to happen, and we were hoping there might be an upset in a certain award, but that didn't happen, but we'll get to that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Actress in a supporting role, and I think we all knew that Monique was going to win, which she did.
Yep. And well deserved too.
Very happy to see her win.
Despite what anyone else says.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone else says. I like Monique. And she can tell me any day to get my fat ass down to the welfare.
Oh, yeah. She just really deserved it. Like, even though I love, like, Anna Kendrick and Vera Farmiga's performances in Up in the Air, but they were just no match compared to what Monique did in Precious.
I'm sorry, but there's no comparison. I mean, Monique just did something else. Like, you see how she is normally, and then you see her performance, and it's like something else completely.
Yeah, and it's a very brave performance too.
Yeah, when you can transform like that, it's amazing. It's something that, you know, should be recognized, and I'm glad it did.
Yeah. And the good thing about her performance is like, she doesn't try to, like, especially in the last scene, like, she doesn't try to bring sympathy to the character.
No, not at all.
And that's what I think makes it a great performance. It's like, yeah, easily in that scene, she would try to make it somewhat sympathetic towards it. Like, we can get a night. To me, I get the idea of why she is the way she is throughout the movie, but she doesn't bring sympathy to the character.
No.
She wants us to not like this character.
No, she...
To understand her, but not to like her.
Yeah, it's an honest portrayal.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you listen to Monique talk about it, about the role and the movie, it's really good to listen to her actually just give, you know, a straight interview about it. And, you know, what she thought when she was doing the performance and her feelings and everything is really good. So,
and she gave a good speech too.
Yeah, I quite liked her speech.
Yeah, I really liked the fact that she was thankful to the Academy for not voting based on politics rather than just voting for the performance, which usually does tend to happen occasionally. Yeah,
it does
at the Oscars.
Yeah, it definitely does happen.
Yeah,
but yeah, and I think.
Sorry.
So I was just going to say, I think in the last few years, this category has kind of been a bit predictable.
Mm.
But yeah.
Although I was kind of like, I was actually holding my breath for a bit because I thought like somebody, like since Maggie Gyllenhaal was nominated for Crazy Heart, and I have a theory that anyone who gets nominated in the supporting or supporting actress category and has not been nominated for anything else beforehand and just shows up as a surprise nominee, that person usually ends up winning.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, so I was thankful for that. So not to say, because I haven't seen Crazy Heart yet, not to say that...
Oh, she definitely deserved, like, the nomination, but Monique deserved the award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't care what anyone else thinks. She deserved it more than anyone.
Yeah, it's one of the best, like, just overall performances, whether it be supporting or main, from 2009.
Exactly.
Actor in a supporting role. And
no surprises
here. If anybody had picked anyone else, honestly, there's something wrong with you. As we all knew, Christoph Waltz won, and he deserved to win, because that was definitely, like, again, one of the best performances. And the character he played is probably one of the best Tarantino characters ever.
And most complex, too.
Yeah. I mean, everything he does in this film is just pure brilliance.
Yeah. And you just can not see any other actor being able to pull it off the way that he did in this movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of a miracle, actually, when you sort of think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was not an easy character to play, and he just made it work perfectly.
And I do like the fact that Quentin Tarantino sort of went out of his way to actually cast an unknown actor to play this role rather than some major Hollywood actor. Like, so I know I read a while ago that Leonardo DiCaprio was probably rumoured for the part. Like, sure, he would have been good for the part.
That probably wouldn't have really worked, though.
Yeah, like, just, like, he would have been good in the part because, like, in the last couple of years, DiCaprio has really grown as an actor. But I don't think he would have done it as well as Christoph Waltz did in this film.
Yeah, and I just want to, like, correct everybody. It's Christoph. It's not Christopher.
Yes.
I'm getting sick of everyone going Christopher, and it's like, no, it's Christoph. Thank you. Get the poor man's name right. He's an Oscar winner now.
Yes, exactly. And he is now set for life.
Yeah. And it was funny, like, when they were showing the reactions, I think Stanley Tucci was just thinking, why did I show up for... I was never going to win.
Everybody hates for my movie for no reason.
Yeah. And he, Christoph gave a really good speech. I'm really glad that most of the speeches weren't really long and they were really good speeches for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes they just go on and on and on. That sounds ridiculous, but most of the speeches are actually pretty good.
Like, you can tell he was really humbled and just like, because he knows this is like a life-changing moment for him now.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope, like, he gets some really great roles and we see more of him, which I said in the previous podcast.
I hope he gets good roles, but not always getting, like villain roles, because that does tend to happen.
Yeah, he could be, like, completely typecast.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope not, but I guess we'll see what happens in the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although he's playing the villain in The Green Hornet, so it's probably already happening already.
Yeah. The next award, which... I don't think anybody critics like us, whereas people that are just regular moviegoers who don't really know any better, and I'm probably offending a hell of a lot of people saying it, they probably were like, yeah, this makes sense, but, you know, us actual film geeks know that this is completely wrong. And that's the actress in a leading role going to Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, which definitely should not have happened.
Like, I'll say, like, I thought she was good in the movie. Like, she's good in the movie. She's the best thing about the movie.
Well, I thought she was, A, good in the movie. Yeah. She, B, looked a lot like the real character. And I like
Tim McGraw's character.
He doesn't really look like him too much.
Exactly.
He was actually good in the movie as well, but...
Oh, yeah, he's good in it too.
I was quite surprised that he was good in it, but, yeah. I mean, she got a lot of, like, the mannerisms and things right, but... At the same time, the film itself, I thought, was quite average, a very poor script, and I honestly felt that she was not even convinced by some of the dialogue she had to spray out. And when you can't believe something you're saying, that hurts your performance, and that is what I thought brought down what could have been an even better performance. And I really just don't see this as being award-worthy at all. But Sandra Bullock, for the most part, with her career, she's made average movies, mostly, you know, romantic comedies or... little, you know, thrillers like The Net or Speed, where she's good, but she's not great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like this award is something to crown her career, because what career has she had? She hasn't had a serious acting career.
Mm.
I mean, she's a really likable person. I do like her. There's nothing wrong with her. She's a funny person. She's down to earth, you know. But for her actual abilities as a serious actress, she can do it, but she's not great. And it's just not... Yeah. It's not an Oscar-worthy performance when you compare it to, you know, previous winners like, you know, someone who was, you know, people that she was up against like Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep. There's no way you could, you know, you shouldn't be putting her in the same category. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. And, I mean, there's so many problems with The Blind Side and it shouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture. No freaking way.
Although it could be a lot worse. That could have won Best Picture, so...
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, dissing the movie. The movie is average.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I thought it was okay, but it's...
It was like very light and cheesy and extremely unbelievable for something that's a true story. And watching a show about the true story, they really should have kept more from the real story in it because it would have been so much better.
Mm.
The actual real story is so much more moving and... It's not like it's depressing or anything. It is uplifting, but it's more uplifting than they make it in the film. There's more struggle there. There's, you know, the relationships are so much more stronger than what's portrayed in the film.
And I think it really comes down to, like, the writer and director, John Lee Hancock, because he probably took it into that direction instead of making what it could have been a really realistic film. Like, it's definitely a film. Like, I thought the movie was okay. Like, I thought it was... a harmless movie, even though it was pretty cheesy and sentimental at times. But it's definitely a movie that has held up, well, to me anyway, because of the performances by the cast in the film. Like, Sandra's good. Tim McGraw was really good. Quentin Aaron, who was good too, and I thought he gave a pretty underrated performance, even though Sandra seems to have taken too much attention away from him, but...
Yeah, I mean, it just was... It's a pretty unrealistic film for something that is true.
Yeah.
And scenes like, you know, lines like where the lady goes, oh, you're changing this boy's life. And she goes, no, he's changing mine. And it's like, Sandra, you're not even convinced by saying that.
Yeah.
You know, how am I supposed to believe it?
She's like, yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's, she really just, it did not deserve it. And I think, you know, as we were talking earlier, even she probably, you know, was probably thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, she even acknowledged it in her speech.
I mean, she gave a good speech. I just thought she was going to ruin it by starting to cry. And I think there was just too much, like, push for her to win for whatever freaking reason. And
yeah, I think it was more of just a popularity one this time around.
Yeah, it really was.
The performance.
It really was. Like, you know, general moviegoers who watch her movies and like them, even if they are absolutely crap, you know, think she deserved to win and were happy she won. And it's them just trying to get more of an audience, and it's just, you know, ridiculous. Mm. I really thought Gabourey should have walked away with it, honestly.
Yeah, I was either rooting for her or Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I mean, they were who I wanted to win, but I knew that Sandra was going to get it in the end.
Yeah.
I was just, like, you know, praying that Sean Penn was going to say Gabourey, but then he looked at the thing and he's like, oh,
yeah,
Sandra. I don't think he looked too impressed.
I think it's one of those, another thing I could say, it's pretty much going to be the first and only time that Sandra will get nominated for an Oscar. I'm not saying, like, she should have won, but it's probably, but I'm like, Meryl Streep, she'll get nominated again, because, like, I mean, she's been nominated 16 times, she's bound to get another, a 17th
nominee. Well, yeah, maybe she'll win again.
Yeah, like, she's getting momentum, like, from the lot, like, The Devil Wears Prada to Doubt and to now Julie and Julia, there is definitely momentum, like she's starting to get momentum now to like get that third Oscar. Yeah. And she'll, who knows, she might even win it for her next role, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens.
Yeah. But I do agree, personal opinion, I would rather have Gabourey Sidibe to one because like, again, just like Sandra, this is probably the first and only time she'll ever win. Or it'll be nominated, sorry. And also, to me, she gave the more deeply affecting performance.
Well, yeah, out of it was so much more there. And, you know, we can add that Sandra did win a Razzie as well. So, you know, she's apparently given the best performance and the worst performance of last year.
Yes,
but, you know,
exactly.
That just goes to show what sort of movies she makes and the what caliber her performances can be. We'll think Miss Congeniality too. You know, like, it would be a bit more, you know, if the performance was better, I would probably not have had such a problem with it, but it's just not. And, you know,
I think if it was better, like, better directed and better written, then it would have been
a
better film.
I mean, it so could have been so much better than it was. And I've put that in my review. I actually wrote quite a long review about it. But, you know, maybe Sandra would go into making more serious films and she'll show us that she's, you know, quite good.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought she was really good in Crash, even though a lot of people didn't really like that movie or thought that deserved anything.
Yeah.
But she was not in it much, but she was pretty good doing serious in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, The Blind Side, yeah, I don't know.
It's more like a movie for, like, even though I do...
It's a film for mums.
It's a movie my mum would like.
It's a mum's film. It's a mum's film. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got three more awards to discuss. Actor in a leading role, which I think we just knew Jeff Bridges was going to win.
The Dude Abides.
And he deserves it.
I can't really say because I haven't seen Crazy Heart yet.
It is a fantastic performance, but this award is like a career. This is an actual career award easily.
Yeah. But it's good, though. It's like it's both a career achievement award, but also giving it to a performance that is among the best of his career.
Well, that's what makes it really sweet. No, it really is. I mean, he's always fantastic.
Mm.
And this is just such a great performance. He lifted this movie up. He made it, like, a really good watchable film. Because without his performance and without, you know, Maggie's performance as well, it just wouldn't have been as good. This is a film where the performances are just way better than the film.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is fantastic. And he gave a great speech. He was just so happy. You know, I just wanted to give him a hug when he was up there.
Everybody loves the dude.
Yeah, and we'll be eagerly awaiting Tron 2.
Exactly. Hopefully that's not going to be a bust because, like, you know what happens? Sometimes an actor wins an Oscar and then they star in a major blockbuster and ends up to it being shit.
Yeah, or it just completely flops.
Yeah, case in point, Halle Berry.
Oh, Halle Berry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just like Sandra, a Razzie and Oscar winner. Oh.
Yeah, and she gave good speeches at both. So
yeah, she's, you know, another, like, quite a funny person.
She's what I like about her, she's very self-deprecating. Like, even she knows she...
She did bad with Catwoman.
I was talking about Sandra Bullock, but...
Oh, yeah.
But, like, even she knows she shouldn't have won, and I think she was, like, I think she wanted Meryl to win more than her. I was actually kind of hoping because it never really happens at awards. It's like, I'd like to see one year that somebody who wins who doesn't deserve it and think, you know what, on stage, it's like, get that other person who they think should have won and just give it the award to them.
Yeah.
Like, it only has ever happened once in my recollection. That was like back in 1997 when Ving Rhames gave his Golden Globe to Jack Lemmon.
Yeah. I remember that.
Because he... thought his performance was much better than his, and that's the sign of, like, a great actor who's willing to give that award to somebody else who they think was much better than them.
Yeah.
And but, of course, like, dude, it doesn't happen these days. It's like, I know I'm better. I know everybody else is better, but, you know, I'm still keeping this award.
Yeah. So we'll go to our next one, shall we?
Yep.
Best directing, and history was made because a woman has now won it.
And history was also made because now Catherine Bigelow is indeed officially the hottest Best Director winner of all time. Oh, yeah.
No, I've got to argue. I think Martin Scorsese is the hottest. Those glasses totally do it for me, man. I think Catherine is probably like the best looking 58-year-old on the planet.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to look that good now.
Yeah, all these Hollywood starlets who are running around now don't look as good as Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, she looks very natural as well.
Yeah,
and she looks stunning.
I read something, she used to be a model.
Well, she looked stunning at the awards.
Oh yeah, she looked fantastic.
And
she deserved it too.
I gotta say, I think she deserved it because I thought she did probably the best directing job next to Quentin Tarantino and one person who wasn't nominated and this movie just got overlooked, which was Moon, and Duncan Jones did a fantastic job with that movie, but can't really speak about it because, you know, it wasn't nominated and the studio didn't promote the movie for award season because it's retarded.
Damn studio.
Yeah.
Well, he won a BAFTA, so we're...
Well, yeah, we can be happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, in my opinion, it was well-deserved.
Yeah, it's just flawless direction from her.
Well, I've always been a big fan of her work. And, you know, one of my, you know, two of my, like, all-time favourite movies ever, Near Dark and Point Break, which she directed.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't think a woman would have directed those two films either. And
I just think it's happy that the director of Point Break is now an Oscar winner.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I do actually, I mean, a lot of people are debating, but I do actually think that James Cameron was legitimately happy that she did win.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure.
He said multiple times he wanted her to win.
Yeah. And I'm actually pretty sure that he actually put her in the direction of this film because they are still quite good friends.
Buddy, buddy.
Yeah. And I think there's just a lot of, like, playfulness kind of thing between them because you saw them like talking at stages like when they were showing like the red carpet and all that kind of thing and you can see that they're still friends and you know
and they were sitting pretty much like
next to each other.
She was sitting in front of him so
and they were all like congratulating each other and when each other's films won they were both seemed genuinely happy about it so
yeah
you know that's something nice that you can see so
yeah so yeah I'm really happy for Catherine Bigelow. Like she, like I said, she is just gave the more flawless direction.
Yeah, I really thought it was pretty fantastic. And as I said, my other favorite was Quentin Tarantino. You know, as far as James Cameron goes, like I think he is a brilliant director, but I just don't think Avatar overall, looking back at his career, was the best directed film he's done.
Mm.
But you know, I also thought that, you know, these other ones were stronger than that. And you know, they really pushed, like, especially with their actors, with some really, you know, flawless performances.
Yeah.
But, you know, James Cameron, I mean, he won it for Titanic, and again, that wasn't, like, a very well-directed film
things I'm one of those people who thinks Titanic is better than Avatar, but that's just me.
I mean, I like Titanic. I think Avatar was definitely better written than that film, but I just don't think...
Well, that's debatable, but we could go into that.
Well, at least, the dialogue was so much better, trust me. It was way more cringeworthy in Titanic.
Well, I can't really say, but to me, James Cameron hasn't always written the best kind of dialogue.
No, his dialogue is not the best. But as far as, like, directing goes, I think his best directed film, I think, is Aliens.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if he should have won anything, a directing award for that film.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm not complaining about him being up there, but I don't think it was something that he deserved to win. So I'm kind of glad that he didn't win it and that the deserving person did win it.
Yeah.
Or one of the two that really did. And again, did they show a reaction shot of Jason Reitman?
No. But if I was Jason Reitman, I'd be really pissed right now.
I think he kind of ruined his chances with a bit of an ego trip.
Yeah, that's probably what ended up being. Well, that's my theory anyway, because he sort of developed a bit of an ego problem over the awards season. So
yeah,
and plus there was this whole controversy. I'm not sure if you heard about him and his co-writer Sheldon Turner, like I think it, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was more like, because Sheldon Turner wrote the screenplay for Up in the Air, and then Jason, but he wrote that like years ago before Jason Reitman came on board.
Mm.
And then Jason Reitman came on board and he rewrote the script. Like, not too much, but enough. Like, but pretty much all the best things about the film were from Sheldon Turner's script, what he wrote. And then Jason Reitman tried to, from what I gather, tried to get sole credit for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was mostly Turner's, Turner had the most majority of the script in terms of what he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And mm-hmm. if you notice, like, if you see them, like, back at the Golden Globes, and anytime they win an award together, they never really, you can sort of sense the somewhat tension between them, or, like, you don't really see them talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was this whole article, this really good article about that, and I'll have to find it and, like, show it to you later, but, yeah, but that's what happened. But I could be not getting all the details, because it's been a while since I've read that article, so, but that's what I, from what I've heard from them.
One of the things was that Up in the Air was, like, you know, when the award season started, it was, like, this big favourite, and then it just, like, went nowhere.
Yeah, it lost momentum, and the it same really with did. Precious as well.
Yeah.
Like, once those two movies sort of came out, they were, like, pretty much the front runners, but sort of once the months go past, their momentum just started going down a lot.
Yeah. So we'll go to our last award, which is Best Picture, which went to The Hurt Locker, which was my pick and my want to win.
And my pick and...
Yeah.
But although Inglourious Basterds was the one I wanted to win.
Yeah, that was my want to win, like, with The Hurt Locker, but I picked The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, but I picked The Hurt Locker too, but I can't, like, I can think of, like, three movies that are better than The Hurt Locker, but to me, I can't complain because The Hurt Locker was well deserved.
I got no issues with The Hurt Locker winning because I, you know, love the film, but it would have been really cool to see Bastards win.
Yeah, but I kind of figured it wasn't going to win once it didn't win Best Original Screenplay. Yeah. I figured it's Hurt Locker all the way from here.
That really crushed me with Bastards not winning the writing award.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was hoping, like, some kind of a weird upset would happen and out of nowhere District 9 would win. But, yeah.
The only weird upset of the night was Best Adapted Screenplay, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem if Avatar had won at all, which I said, like, if James Cameron didn't win directing, I'd be happy that Avatar would win Best Picture. But, yeah that, again, didn't happen, and... You know, I know that, like, The Hurt Locker is really going to get so much hate now, but that always happens.
Yeah, it always happens to every Best Picture winner, even if it's the one that everybody likes.
Yeah, there's always, like, so much backlash.
Yeah, it happened to, like, Crash, it happened to Slumdog Millionaire. Like,
people who absolutely love the movie turn around and go, oh, I hate it, I didn't like it that much.
Hell, it even happened to No Country for Old Men, and everybody loves that movie.
Yeah, it's just like, get over it.
Yeah, honestly. The only film I can think of that it didn't happen to was probably The Departed.
And well, everyone absolutely just went apeshit for that.
Yeah, and also Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. That's probably the last time, the only two I can think of where it didn't happen to those ones.
Yeah, that Oscars was just a bit drabby because it was just like Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings.
Let's just give every award, and they did.
it was like Lord of the Rings, okay. But I mean, no, like, real complaints about the Oscars this year. I mean, the show itself was very hit and miss. And I thought a lot of things were kind of predictable and there were a few little kind of surprises, but it pretty much ended up going the way that I thought it might go. I mean, I thought it was either going to be, you know, more Hurt Locker or more Avatar, and it ended up being more Hurt Locker.
I think, like, people sort of annoyed, are pissed off that the Hurt Locker won at the moment and they're getting wound up for no apparent reason, but I think it would have been even a lot worse if Avatar would have won. And now you're sort of getting these people like, I didn't want Hurt Locker to win, I wanted Avatar to win. But if Avatar would have won, it'd be like, I didn't want Avatar to win, I wanted the Hurt Locker to win.
They would have been the people that were going for, you know...
They're just bitching for the sake of bitching.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that happened, but yeah. But, yes...
Like, I'm a pretty satisfying person. Like, if enough films win in my favor, like, if The Hurt Locker won, I'm pretty satisfied with the winners this year. Like, sure, one or two I think should have gone to other people, but I'm overly satisfied with it. But, of course, you can't please everybody.
No, you're never going to please everybody. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, I thought it went pretty well. I mean, the show itself, like I said, it was hit and miss with the skits and everything. And some presenters were terrible. And I got to complain, like, they added in this horror montage tribute. And it's like, well, that's obviously they're trying to win over fanboys. But you're not going to win anyone over having freaking Taylor Lautner and Kristen Stewart introducing it and showing Twilight as horror.
Twilight should be mentioned in the same video clip as
Twilight
The Shining.
Jaws is not horror. It's horrible, yes, but it's not horror. And, like, where was Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead in that montage?
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead was there.
Was it? I didn't see, like, Dawn of the Dead or anything like that. I'm thinking...
It went by... A lot of clips went by very quickly.
Yeah, I'm thinking, where's the George Romero love in this thing?
Well, there was, like, Halloween, and for some reason, the Leprechaun was there.
Yeah, Leprechaun they kept showing, and I'm like, why?
The Academy must really love Leprechaun.
Yeah, and my mum's going, what was Jennifer Aniston doing in that? I'm like, she was in Leprechaun, and she's like, what's a Leprechaun? I'm like, you don't want to know.
And they even showed clips from movies that aren't even horror movies. Like, what? Marathon Man is not a horror movie.
Well,
like,
apparently
yeah,
it is.
Like, yeah, a very scary scene, but it's not horror.
Yeah, well, apparently it is if Twilight is. I guess anything can be.
And there was another one, too. Edward Scissorhands. Edward Scissorhands is not horror.
That's not really a horror, no. It's, you know, you got to, like, yeah, they're really just... We're pushing it this time.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's nice that, you know, like my favourite genre can be recognised, but they just went about it the wrong way.
Exactly. Like, I enjoyed the montage, but I just have to say boo to Twilight.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But,
yeah. But one of the things I would be utterly disturbed by Ben Stiller on the show. One of the things I really liked, what was it? Oh, now I'm blanking now.
He's blank. Blankety blank. Blank. Aside from Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, yeah, cool. That's probably why I'm blanking. But there was a lot of good things about the show. I mean, a lot of, like I said, I think Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin did well for the most part. Like I said, some of their jokes didn't work.
Some of them fell flat, but, you know, it was something different.
Yeah. But their, like you said before, their Paranormal Activity sketch was priceless.
That was the best one. That was pretty hilarious.
And it was just a really, there were two things I really liked about the show this year. I thought they were doing this throughout all the acting nominees. Like, when they were doing the supporting actor and supporting actress, they didn't just show one acting clip.
Oh yeah, they like did a little montage thing.
Yeah, like giving a more well-rounded look of what the character, who these characters are, like, at different stages during the movie.
Mm. And then, like, with the best actor and actress, when they had one of their, like, former co-workers or whatever to talk about them, that was really sweet. That was a good little
thing. Tim Robbins' one to Morgan Freeman was hilarious.
I really enjoyed that.
And yeah, I have to find the quote. Somebody posted up somewhere, and it's a hilarious quote, like, pretty much, I'll see if I can find it, but, another one I did like, and I know you love this one, was the fact that it's the story of Colin Farrell and Jeremy Renner spooning in Mexico.
Yeah, I'm just like, they spooned? Where was my invitation to spoon?
When you heard that, you died and went to heaven.
I was just like, oh, I'm going to have happy dreams tonight.
It's funny that it mentioned SWAT. I mean,
yeah, SWAT, his anywhere. SWAT co-star. But I'm assuming, like, they must be good friends for him to do it. And it's just like, I mean, I do like Colin Farrell. I know people just aren't really that big fans of him, but I like him.
I like Colin Farrell.
And I think he's quite a good looking guy. So yeah, two good looking guys spooning is not going to turn me off at all.
Okay. I found the quote.
My fetish has been revealed to the world, but you know.
But I found the quote to, if people were wondering which quote it was, for Tim Robbins saying to Morgan Freeman, because they worked on The Shawshank Redemption together.
Yes.
And it said on Tim Robbins' line was, Morgan, I'll never forget about the friendship on... sorry. Morgan, I'll never forget what you told me about friendship on the last day of filming. Friendship is getting me a cup of coffee. Will you do that for me, Ted? It is Ted, isn't it? That was hilarious. That was
Yeah, he was good to, like, be picked. And I was going to say, I really was I was quite touched by the Oprah speech to Gabrielle.
Yeah, that was a night.
That was just, and she was like teary, and it's like, oh my gosh, just give her that award.
I know. I saw, as soon as the tears, I was like, just give her the award already. Don't, Sandra, just give her the award. You know you want to.
Yeah. She was really nice, like, in her speech to pay tribute to the other nominees.
Mostly Gabori and Meryl.
Yeah.
Forgetting Helen. Yeah. It's like, they're British. They don't have to worry about it. They'll get nominated again.
Those Brits. Yes. Yeah. But, yes, those were the Oscars for the season of 2009.
Yes.
And I think that's a wrap from us.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, mostly satisfied, I think, this year. So that's my stand.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to be shorter. Like, I thought it dragged a
bit. Yeah, it was like 45 minutes and two awards have been presented. That's a bit much.
Yeah, like it was, overall the show went for about 3.5 hours. But, I mean, if the BAFTA awards can, like, have just the exact same amount of awards as the Oscars, but do it in 2 hours, I think the Oscars can do it as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
One thing I want to mention before we finish off. Did you see that moment, that Kanye moment?
No.
That was in the short doco category.
No, I didn't see it.
It was, I was just like puzzled. It's like, what the hell is this woman doing? It's like this guy, the short doco that won in that category, Music by Prudence, the guy who directed went up to collect the award, and all of a sudden this woman just darts up there and just like pushes him out of the way.
Oh,
like,
no, I didn't see. I wasn't
not like full of pushing it, but like pushing him aside. It's like, oh, I want to talk.
No, yeah. I just, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't really paying attention to those awards.
There's probably going to be clips of it on YouTube by now. It was just like a really, and I read a lot of there are now people putting up articles about it, and apparently there is like an animosity between the two, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah, full on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but interesting. But anyway, that's our show for the second part of the special edition of the Oscar podcasting. So,
yep.
Yeah, well, that's a wrap from me, Super Marcy, who's very super, and Bede, who is very terrible for watching Brat.
Yes, but we'll have to do this again next year.
Yes. Well, until a next podcast, I'm sure you'll be back on sometime very soon for another installment of something that we'll do. So
I'll force myself on your podcast.
Yes, you will. You'll bribe me.
Yes.
But yes, until next time, catch you later.
See you, everyone.
My name is Clarice Precious Jones. I want to be on the cover of a magazine. I wish I had a light-skinned boyfriend with real nice hair. But first, I want to be in one of them BET videos.
You're a dummy. Don't nobody want you. Don't nobody need you. School ain't gonna help none. Take your ass down to the welfare.
16, you're still in junior high school, and you're pregnant with your second child. That's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about home. But you're gonna have to talk to somebody if you want your check, sweetie. People tell me my
life is beautiful. Oh, Precious, I'm hungry. You plan on putting some food in that frying pan?
My favorite color is purple. I sing well, and I'm here because I love to teach.
I'm Joanne. My favorite color is fluorescent beige, and I'm here to get my GED.
Clarice, something you do well?
Nothing.
Everybody's good at something.
You will stand up there and look down at me like you're a woman. You don't know what real women do. Real women sacrifice. Now smile about that, you fat bitch. Get down here.
Can we talk about the abuse in your household? You know what I'm talking about.
You sit there and judge me, and you write them notes on your pad about who you think I am. Nobody loves me.
People do love you, Precious.
Please don't love me. Nobody's done nothing for me. Beat me. Make me feel worthless.
Your baby loves you.
I love you.